You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com. Let's welcome our first guest here. It's Liz Lodman. She is with the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Department, the AIS Information Officer. And AIS is a three-letter dirty word anymore. Aquatic invasive species, and we've been fighting it, and for good reason. And I think we're doing pretty good as I look at it. And I guess Liz should address that, how we're doing. And how are you doing, Liz?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, Tom.
Thanks for being on the program here. Did you have a good weekend?
I did. I went to a wedding this weekend.
Oh, fun. May weddings. Did you behave yourself? It wasn't in Miles City, was it?
No. It's been a long time since I've been to the Miles City Bucking Horse Sale. So.
Hey, well, thank you for being here. Appreciate that. Don't mean to go right off into that, but I'm glad you did have a good weekend. Weddings are fun. Aquatic invasive species are not. Why? Why are they not so much fun?
Yeah, aquatic invasive species, bad news. They're in every state, really. Some more so than other states, and we're really trying to keep them out of Montana. And that's why we've got those watercraft inspection stations along the roads coming into Montana to check those boats.
Are we doing a good job?
Yeah, we're doing good. You know, the whole program changed in 2018 when we discovered the microscopic babies of the invasive mussels in Tiber and the suspect in Canyon Ferry. So we got that detection in 2017, 2018. Our whole world changed. We had a vast expansion of our watercraft inspection stations and expansion of all the waters that we are testing and sampling for AIS. We had been doing that before, but 2018, we really expanded those programs to step up our game and keep AIS out of here and try and educate people about aquatic invasive species.
You know, and that's a big part of it, too, is because, you know, we're thinking it's mussels, but there's Asiatic clams. I'm looking here at this website, fieldguide.mt.gov, and it's full of these scientific but specific listings, the American bullfrog. It's not just the mussels. That's what we tend to focus on. I see black carp is in here. You look at, you know, there's plants as well.
Yeah.
And so, but the,
that's the thing.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say AIS, aquatic invasive species, can be plants, animals, or diseases that are native to other parts of the world but would be invasive here in Montana. And so when they come to a place where they are not native, they can reproduce rapidly. They can overtake the areas where our native species, whether it's plants or animals, would want to live and grow and cause real damage.
Let's start off with, I think, the inspections, because people see those. We understand those. Like you say, the whole process was ramped up after the thing in Tiber Reservoir. They were the small larvae, I suppose. Canyon Ferry's been cleared since then. That's good news. Why don't we catch us up to date on Tiber, Canyon Ferry, and then let's launch into what people need to be aware of as they go up to these inspection booths, and how do they clean their boats?
Yeah, just one thing about invasive mussels, just to make sure people know the difference between invasive mussels and our native mussels. These invasive mussels, they're zebra or quagga mussels. They're kind of cousins to each other. They come from the Black and Caspian Sea area, so kind of over by Russia. They behave differently than our native mussels. They're about as big as your thumbnail, but what they do different is they have these little hairs called Bissell threads on them. And they use those hairs to attach to things under the water. So it could be the bottom of your boat. It could be a dock. It could be pipes in an irrigation system. It could get into hydropower facilities. And the places that have invasive mussels spend millions taking care of the problem. So that's why it's so important for us to try and keep these invasive mussels out of here. They start out as a microscopic little larvae called a veliger that you cannot see with the naked eye. You can see it under a microscope, but they could be floating in water and you wouldn't know it. So that's why we want boats that are cleaned off of all vegetation and mud drained of water. So there's, you know, nothing invisible, whether it's the villagers or diseases floating in water, and then dry. So Tiber did have detections of invasive mussels in 2017. We have been monitoring and testing that water body very heavily ever since then. We have not detected any other mussels. So hopefully that means that they did not grow and reproduce. We are in our fifth year of the decontamination stations that are located at Tiber. And after this fifth year, we may be able to delist Tiber as having mussels. That's happened in other parts of the country where they would have a detection of the villagers and then not see any reproducing populations, and then you can delist it. Now, Canyon Ferry just had one suspect sample, and we were required to do a three-year containment. So we've been through that 3 years. We had inspection stations located on some of the boat ramps. Those are gone now. So Canyon Ferry, you can launch anywhere you want to right now. So that's kind of how that happened at Tiber. Still the same decontamination stations coming out of some of those areas that you launch from, and the other ones are closed unless you're a certified boater. So hopefully we get through this year with no detections, and things may change for next year.
And that's real interesting because, as you talked about, in Tiber, they had detected some of these larvae, but they didn't see an outbreak, yet it's taken 5 years or so to say, hey, this place is clean.
Yeah, that's a kind of a standard from the Western States Agreement. So we work really closely with our Western states, trying to prevent any invasive mussels from moving further west. So they got to the United States in the ballast water of big cargo ships. Those cargo ships would either offload or take on cargo. And they suck up water into their ballast tanks to kind of even the load out. So whatever water they're sucking up within that water, they're putting in their tanks.
Oh, yeah.
They float across the Atlantic. They come through the St. Lawrence Seaway into the Great Lakes. They offload their cargo, or they're picking up cargo. They're exchanging water again. And that's how these mussels got to North America, is the big cargo ships.
From there,
they get moved across land on trailered watercraft.
And they reproduce a lot more than our native species mussels?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing about invasives. Where they are native to, they don't overtake an area, because it could be because there's natural predators there, or conditions, you know, environmental conditions where they don't go crazy. But when they go to a new place where they don't have those predators that would keep them in check, or it's really prime, you know, reproducing conditions, they can just explode. So that's what makes them invasive.
Yeah.
They take over the places our natives want to live.
Yeah. That's the balance in our system. The circle of life, as
Mother Nature,
as Mufasa would say. Liz Lodman is with us, AIS, that's Aquatic Invasive Species Information Officer, Fish, Wildlife and Parks. So there's a difference between these decontamination stations and these inspection stations, but let's go into that, because the decontamination stations are on site, right? Inspection stations are pretty much along the roadway all over the state.
Yeah, we really only have three decontamination stations, and those are all located on Tiber.
Gotcha.
So again, we're just trying to make sure that if there's any water or anything on the watercraft coming out of Tiber, that it gets cleaned off, so it's clean, drained, and dry. But basically, what most people are going to see is our roadside inspection stations, and we have those on major roadways coming into Montana and along the Continental Divide. And just getting back to those invasive mussels, the reason we are protecting the Continental Divide is because west of the Continental Divide is the Columbia River Basin. So that's everything west of the Rocky Mountains that floats to the Pacific Ocean. So western Montana, Idaho, Washington, Oregon, that's all the Columbia River Basin. That's the last large basin in all of North America that is invasive mussel free. There's no invasive mussels there. So everybody really is looking to Montana to, like, that's the line we don't want them to cross for sure.
You know, there's a couple of things we have to hit. Got a breakup coming here, too. But we understand what clean, drain, and dry is, but I'm not sure we understand how effective we need to be. Anglers and hunters are also involved in this. Scuba divers, snorkelers. I see a listing here on the website. Again, it's fieldguide.mt.gov. Montana seaplanes, things like that. Aquarium owners and pet owners, water gardeners and pond owners. I mean, it involves a lot of people in this battle against aquatic invasive species in Montana. And we'll be back with more of a discussion here with Liz on Voices. Well, look at that. That's just exactly what we're talking about here. It's an important time of year for that, too. I think I read not long ago that there were some boats that were traveling across Montana. I think they came from the Great Lakes area that had some of these invasive species on. They were stopped, and I think they were quarantined. I mean, it's certainly in the process. Liz Laudman is with us. She's with FWP, the AIS Information Officer. And again, it's this time of year, Liz, where we kind of need to be more and more aware of this. Let's talk about you got cleandraindrymt.com for more information on that. But let's kind of spell it out a little bit, because it's not just pulling the boat out of the water. And a boat enthusiast actually really be aware of?
So the whole way to keep from moving aquatic invasive species around is to make sure your watercraft and your trailer are clean. So make sure there's no plants or animals or mud on your boat. Drain your boat, drain the ballast, drain the bilge so that there's no standing water, drain the live well, and then dry. You know, these are aquatic species, so they need water. So if your boat's dry, they're not going to survive. But I do have one caveat for that. The places where there are invasive mussels, like the Great Lakes or down in Arizona, adult mussels can attach to boats in as little as a day. If a boat's been on the water just for a day, adult mussels can attach to the bottom of the boat. You pull that boat out of the water, they'll just shut their shell up. And if the conditions are right, they can survive out of water for 30 days. You drive around, you launch someplace else, they can open up and then start reproducing in a new waterway. So clean, drain, dry, that's the best way to prevent them from getting moved around.
Well, isn't there also an X amount of time where you want them to dry? As you mentioned, 30 days, but most boaters are not going to keep their boats out of the water for 30 days at a time.
No, right. So that's why just cleaning those adult mussels off the hull, you notice them, is the thing to do. So clean them off, drain all the water, dry it out. That's the best advice we can give for that.
Do they need to report
these? One thing, yes. You know, we are always wanting folks to notify us if they see something strange, especially, you know, we Montanans who are out, whether it's on our own land or pasture or riverfronts or on the lake, if they see a strange snail, a strange critter, a strange plant that they haven't seen before, you know, they can take a picture of it and send to us. They can call us. Our phone number is 406-444-2440. We also have a place on our website where you can email us reports of things you find. And we will we'll go there and check it out, or we'll look at your photo and be able to help you out to see if it's something that we should be concerned about. Because the quicker we catch these things, the better chance we have of stopping it before the problem gets too big.
Well, and that's the thing, the ounce of prevention here. What about aquarium owners? I was talking with somebody just the other day that there's a large pond in a community in Montana. And they've got a goldfish population in that pond, and I don't suspect that that's very healthy.
No, this is another one of the ways that invasive species can get moved around is, you know, if you have an aquarium tank and aquarium pets, whether that's fish, frogs, salamanders, turtles, we want to make sure if you can no longer care for those aquarium pets, please do not dump them into our natural waterways.
I know. How they get rid of them then? I mean, they're trying to keep them alive, and it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We want to find somebody else who can adopt that pet, or maybe contact the local animal shelter. And I know some communities have pet rescue groups that will help you find a new owner for that pet. But please, please don't dump them into the waterways. Well, I had an acquaintance tell me that he caught a piranha in Lake Elmo like 20 years ago. I'm sure there's a lot of strange things that have been dumped into Lake Elmo and other waterways. And like this place that had the goldfish. The goldfish will just keep growing. They're related to the carp family, and they'll just keep getting bigger and bigger. And no other fish can live there once the goldfish take over.
Yeah, well, that's the deal. And we just barely scratched the surface of it. Like you said, cleandrainanddrymt.com for more information on it. Hit those inspection stations. How long does it take to get through an inspection station?
Well, it depends on how dirty your boat is and where your boat's coming from. So it could be as quick as 5 minutes if you've got a real clean boat and you're ready to go. And we want you to help with the inspection. So just a reminder, if you're passing an inspection station and you've got a watercraft, even if it's a rolled up raft in the back of your truck or a paddleboard, you must stop at all inspection stations you encounter. And if you're bringing a boat from out of state, you must be inspected before you launch, because, you know, the real danger is folks coming from out of state. And it could be Montanans leaving the state, going fishing. We've had a couple boats this spring already. People went for a week down in Lake Mead, Lake Havasu, came back, and they had mussels on their boat.
Yeah.
Just in that 1 week of being in the water. So you have to be inspected before you launch.
Takes that vigilance. Also, we don't have time, but there's, you know, pondweed. There's other kinds of invasive species that are plant-based as well. Go to cleandraindrymt.com, and you'll get up to date on that stuff. It's up to us. Hey, thanks, Liz. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yep. We'll check in with you a bit later on, too, okay, down the road.
That'd be good. We'd be happy to be back. Yep.